Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of As I See It. My name is Dean Duplessis, and as the title or the caption suggests, the South Africans silenced the critics with a very, very comprehensive 9-wicket win over Sri Lanka at the SCG on Wednesday. What a superb performance that was by the South Africans. And you just got the feeling that as soon as that first wicket went, when Tillakaratne Dilshan was out without scoring, that the South Africans had brought their A game, didn't they? AB de Villiers actually summed it up very nicely at the match presentation when he said that they rocked up with their A game, and he was quite right. They were all over the Sri Lankans, and Sri Lanka simply had no response or no reply to what South Africa had to offer. So let's just quickly confirm again. Sri Lanka won the toss and decided to bat and were bowled out for 133. Top scorer there was Kumar Sangakkara with 45. Nobody else really gave Sangakkara support in his final one-day international, as wickets fell at regularity and certainly at the wrong time from a Sri Lankan point of view. You would have thought that the seamers would have been the pick of the bowlers. Well, it was actually the two spinners, which came as such a bizarre surprise. We all know what good players of spin Sri Lankans are in any conditions. And tonight, well, it was certainly just a little too much for them, wasn't it? JP Duminy, superb, 3 for 29, which included a hat-trick, becoming the first South African to take a hat-trick in World Cup cricket and the eighth of all to take a hat-trick in World Cup cricket. But Imran Tahir was absolutely outstanding, 4 for 26 with these leg spinners. And I just wonder what it is that makes Imran Tahir such a difficult bowler in the shorter version of the game than in the longer version. Because let's be honest, in Test cricket, I wouldn't have him in my side. I don't know about you. But I'll tell you something else as well. A lot of people may not agree with me on this, but I believe that Imran Tahir is currently South Africa's best one-day bowler, quite possibly even the world's best one-day bowler, because he takes wickets and he hardly ever concedes runs. Typical leg spinner, at times he can concede the odd boundary, but I mean, gee, the best leg spinner in the world, Shane Warne, was often hit for many a 4 and 6, but certainly on more occasions than not ended up as the pick of the Australian bowlers. And that is the case with Imran Tahir. The only thing is that Tahir now is hardly conceding boundaries as well. He is doing an outstanding job. Now, I have a little theory to that, and I'm not too sure whether I'm correct or not. I think that quite possibly the reason why Tahir doesn't do as well in the Test arena is because maybe, possibly, he tries a bit too much. So he's forever trying to bowl the googly, which is his turn two delivery, and maybe tries a bit too much, stuff that you would do in the one-day game, but that doesn't necessarily always work in the longer version of the game. It's always nice to have a go-to delivery, I suppose you could call it. But I just sometimes wonder whether he doesn't try a little too much and then ends up being smashed all over the place in the Test matches. So maybe if I were Hashim Amla, I would say to him, right, I'm still going to give you an attacking field. And that's another thing that the South Africans need to do, is that they need to learn to use their spinners in a more attacking fashion as well. So many people criticize the likes of Paul Harris and Pat Simcox, but to be fair, they were never used as attacking spinners. They always bowled to contain and to defensive fields. And I can understand why, given the pace attack South Africa have always had, you know, be it Alan Donald or Fani de Villiers or Craig Matthews or Sean Pollock, Mackay Antini, Dale Steyn, Morne Morkel, Brett Schultz, no matter who it may be, they were very, very good seamers. But you do sometimes have to understand that you're not always playing in seam-friendly conditions. And the spinners do need to know how to bowl in pressure situations, or to create pressure, I suppose you could say, to batsmen as well. So I feel that sometimes spinners have been unfairly criticized by all of us, me included, for not taking wickets. But I think sometimes the South Africans have been a little at fault, relying a little too much on their pace attack. Goodness, who can blame them when you have a pace attack like that? But if you go to Sri Lanka when you're playing in against Pakistan in Sharjah, well, you do have to understand that your spinner may very well have an important role to play, especially in the second innings. And then you give them the attacking field, and then they don't quite know how to bowl because they're not used to the circumstances and the conditions and what they have to do, and then they still end up being hit. So my opinion, South Africans, make sure that you get your guys bowling to attack or with attacking fields, especially in your domestic tournaments, so that when they do make the step up to play for the Proteas, they understand what it's about to bowl in a containing position and as well as an attacking position. There you are. That's my 10 cents for all that's worth. Right, so in reply then, South Africa, they only lost the one wicket, and that was the wicket of Hashim Amla. Quinton de Kock found his feet magnificently today with an unbeaten 78 off just, 57 deliveries, and ensuring that South Africa got home. And only the 18th over, fantastic stuff. So South Africa, quite rightly so, went about the total as if it was a T20 match. So if that was the case, they got home with one and a bit overs to spare. But in reality, they got home with, 32 overs to spare. So very comprehensive. You don't get more comprehensive than that. And but I think we do need to pay a little bit of tribute to Kumar Sangakkara and Mahela Jayawardena. Now, it never ends the way you'd like it to end. I suppose the perfect ending would have been that both Sangakkara and Jayawardena got big scores, regardless of who won the match. If you are a South African, you obviously would have wanted South Africa to have won. But if you were a cricket lover, you would have wanted Kumar Sangakkara and Mahela Jayawardena to have both scored scores of significance. And regardless as to who would have won the game, it doesn't particularly matter. So from my personal point of view, well, I have to say that I was very disappointed that neither of them scored. But unfortunately, life is very unfair, cold, harsh, and cruel at most times. So that is the way that it ended for Sangakkara. But fantastic stuff for both him and Jayawardena. Very similar to Arjuna Ranatunga and Aravinda De Silva when they used to go about their business. Though I have to say that I think... And I'm sure De Silva and Ranatunga will be the first to admit it. Both Jayawardena and Sangakkara were considerably fitter and a bit more mobile than those two fantastic gents who did so well for the Sri Lankans in the 1990s. So this now means that South Africa are through to the semi-finals. So they've got a bit of the old monkey off the back, as we've all been saying. They're through to the semi-finals. Don't forget that the game will be played on Thursday, tomorrow, depending on when you listen to this little podcast. It'll be Bangladesh up against India. Now, your first reaction is to say that India will comprehensively outplay Bangladesh. Don't make that mistake. Yes, it is more than likely that that will happen, but don't be complacent, don't be naive, because Bangladesh on more than one occasion have shown that they are very capable of upsetting big teams, especially when it really matters. Yes, India probably are going to be a little too strong. Bangladesh playing in front, at the MCG, I tell you what, is that a first for them? Can anybody tell me? Is that the first time Bangladesh have played at the MCG? I personally think it is. India have certainly been there a few times, so they'll know what it's all about. But having said that, Bangladesh are used to playing in front of big and rowdy crowds as well, so don't really think that'll mean too much for them. I think they'll take it in their stride. Right, so we want to keep it relatively short today. We ran out of time yesterday before I could say goodbye. Please don't forget that if you don't follow me on Twitter, you are more than welcome to do so at Dean_PLESSIS. If you'd like to follow me on Facebook, please look for the Dean Duplessis cricket commentator and journalist Facebook page. You like that? And we will certainly, it'll be wonderful to have a chat with you. So thanks very much for listening. I hope you guys are enjoying it because I'm enjoying presenting it, but I haven't had too much feedback. So I certainly hope that you guys have been enjoying it as much as I have. But we'll be back again tomorrow to talk about the India-Bangladesh game and then, of course, to have a chat about the Australia-Pakistan game, which will be played on Friday. But until then, my name is Dean Duplessis. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.